This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with T. Xiao Yik. So as always, two stories for you today. In our first story, a Malaysia Kini journalist has been on the receiving end of online harassment over an article that she wrote about the new environment minister's views on logging in Kelantan. So we're going to discuss that issue and find out what's been happening.
And you've heard about washing your hands, you've heard about wearing a mask if you're ill, and all this is related to COVID-19, of course. But what is social distancing, which is something we're hearing a lot about now, and how can that help to reduce the spread of the virus? And, so that's coming up for our second story. And on Twitter, we also have a poll related to that. We're asking you whether you are practicing any kind of social distancing. Tell us what you're doing. You know, it could be avoiding crowds or working at home and things like that. Take that poll over at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us your thoughts at 018-789-8899.
Yep, so that's going to come up after the break, that story. But for now, onto our first story. So last week, a Malaysia Kini journalist by the name of Koga Chi wrote an article titled New Environment Minister Defends Logging in Kelantan. Mm. So the article quotes Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man as saying that, quote-unquote, if you look at Kelantan, it has ICAO certification compared to other states that do not have any. He went on to say that criticism that he's facing is partly due to sentiment from the opposition. Mm. So it was a harmless enough, seemingly harmless enough article, but you know, things took a very strange and very negative turn when a netizen took to Facebook to personally attack Koga Chi, the reporter, for that article. So according to a Malaysia Kini report, the post sought to imply that Koga's article on the matter had been fabricated as it was not asked at Tuan Ibrahim's press conference, which had been streamed live.
Yeah, but the truth is the article was not fabricated at all. While Tuan Ibrahim did not say what was reported in the article during that live press conference. In fact, Koh's article was based on a doorstop where reporters spoke to the minister after the conference. Mm. But that inaccurate Facebook post, which has now been taken down for good, it accused Koh of fabricating quotes and dividing the Muslim community, and it had been shared close to 3,000 times. And what's truly heart-wrenching was the barrage of hurtful and racist comments that were directed personally at Koh.
That's right,
and
yeah.
Some commenters even threatened to physically harm her.
Yes, and yesterday Tuan Ibrahim finally spoke out on the events that have transpired, saying that he does not agree with personal attacks against any journalist. Mm. But he also took the opportunity to maintain that he was misrepresented and that his words were taken out of context. He said, quote unquote, misunderstandings, quotes taken out of context and inaccurate summaries are normal issues. It must be dealt with by an explanation in a professional manner. Mm. However, that claim, you know, that the article was inaccurate, that was, you know, strongly refuted by Malaysia Kini, who stood by their report, and they've actually posted the video clip of that doorstop interview as proof.
Yeah. And turning back to that hate-filled Facebook post against Koh, it had been reported to Facebook and was initially taken down for a few hours. However, Facebook later overturned their decision, claiming it did not go against their community standards. And following that, subsequent requests to take down the post were rejected. So Facebook's response was, and I quote here, a specialist from our team reviewed the photo again and confirmed that it doesn't go against any of our community standards, including harassment and bullying. And really, that's very odd because Facebook's community standards clearly states that it doesn't allow any kind of hate speech whatsoever. Well, the good news after that sort of back and forth is that Facebook finally took down the post for good yesterday after multiple engagements with the social media site.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, right? You know, people are threatening to kill her and
yes,
they say
exactly. And they say that doesn't fall under what they constitute hate speech.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, you know, many did rally behind Koga Chi, the reporter, including Petaling Jaya MP Maria Chin Abdullah, who said in a statement that, you know, any attack against a journalist is also an attack on media freedom. Media group Gerakan Media Merdeka, with a very nice acronym GERAM, also spoke up against the harassment faced by Koh, saying that threats or attacks in any form towards journalists are unacceptable. Mm. And one other group that condemned these actions against Koh was the Centre of Independent Journalism Malaysia, or CIJ for short. And earlier today, I actually got in touch with Wachila Naidu, who is the executive director of CIJ to get her thoughts on, you know, how we can actually protect independent journalism and freedom of expression here in Malaysia, you know. But I started off by asking her what she thought about Koh's case in particular.
Just to put it into context, right, in Malaysia, the harassment and threats experienced by Koh Gachi is actually not an isolated incident, right? Mm-hmm. Threatening and harassing journalists are often means of intimidating journalists from carrying out their jobs.
Yeah.
Globally, we've seen numerous instances where journalists can face violence, intimidation, and this is often in the context of them exercising their fundamental right to freedom of expression and in promoting media freedom, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into that whole range of threats that they may experience. Mm. But, you know, coming back to Malaysia, in fact, this is not even new to Gachi. If I'm not mistaken, Malaysia Kini had to recall her from Cebu in 2016 for safety reasons after her photograph was circulated on social media. And this is following complaints against an election campaign article. So what we are seeing now is this continued use of threats and harassment to intimidate journalists. And this goes beyond, initially it starts with an attack on the integrity, right? And then it evolves into physical threats. And what we are also seeing is a trend where these forms of intimidation are often being used as political tools. It was used in 2016 during the elections. It's used against now by a political leader's supporters. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate that it's common, but yet, you know, there are no concrete action or measures for us to address it internally in Malaysia. And there is also the fear that if it's not addressed now, it can escalate to situations we see elsewhere, you know, to murder, actual, kidnapping, and forced disappearances and so on. What we are seeing now, online harassment. We don't want that to turn into offline attacks as well.
And, you know, seeing that there is a sort of a political element to this, you know, has there been any response from the government with regard to the harassment that's faced by Gachi? And, you know, what are your thoughts on the response that has come so far?
You know, we've seen in our state, Malaysia, it often appears quite over-eager at times to prosecute and criminalise mere insults, you know. And this, you know, and this do not even constitute incitement to violence, hatred, or even discrimination.
Mm.
But it's unfortunately very slow to even condemn bullying and harassment online. Yeah. And then going back to the response by the Minister of Environment, right? He said that he does not agree with any personal attacks against journalists. Mm-hmm. And he also called for any disagreement about reporting to be resolved in a professional manner.
That's right.
But then you look at certain situations. One, he only spoke out against the attacks days after this occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, he insinuated that the article might be misleading, and this is despite the video evidence, right?
That's right.
You know, the silence all this while, it's damaging, because, you know, it allows the attacks to continue. And, you know, the attacks now have really transcended into racial attacks.
That's right.
And this continues to perpetuate the racist rhetoric that's so much politicized in our current attacks.
Yeah. And I mean, the reporter was obviously just doing her job. You know, what are your thoughts on this fury that is being shown towards her by these social media commentators?
Okay, we just look at the first attack, right? First attack was on the claim that she reported issues that were not raised during the press conference.
That's
okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This insinuated that it's a fabrication or misinformation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then this escalated into personal attacks, and that then transcended into racial slurs.
Yeah.
So what we are seeing is how our politics tie in with racial dynamics. And we have seen race and religion being politicized and used to polarize our society.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that is actually the biggest fight we have before us, because, you know, this is the first step, right? You start with attacks, you know, against journalists, against the media, who's basically your institution to sort of like take forward information, you know, and to hold the state accountable. But once you start with these attacks, it creates a sense of fear amongst other journalists and other media, you know. Mm. So it is an effective tool, actually, to intimidate and harass and silence people and silence journalists. Mm-hmm. So the fury here in this instance, initially, I would say it was very much political in nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah. But you know how Malaysians very often, you know, we are not necessarily very aware of all situations. We're also not necessarily very aware of fundamental freedoms and rights. Yeah. Okay, we are influenced by common rhetorics and common narratives now are on attacks on the basis of race and religion. You know, and this is nothing new. We are from Malaysians, and unfortunately, this is how we are moving forward. So unless and until we call out and condemn racism and we call out attacks such as this, it's going to be continuing.
Yeah, and I mean, it is important to protect journalists and, you know, allow them to carry out their work without fear. But, you know, what happens when that fear is there, you know, and journalists can't just do their jobs?
So what we are really seeing is, the space for meaningful discussion and communication is being under siege, right? Mm-hmm. Because journalists are being attacked for uncovering the wrongdoing of governments and other vested interest groups. Mm-hmm. Or in their attempts to hold these parties accountable, right?
That's right.
And we know for a fact that information is really crucial and fundamental for a democratic society. Mm-hmm. So by attacking a journalist or being against media freedom, it's really an attack on the public's right to be informed and to govern itself democratically. So how are we then? By silencing journalists, that means our access to information and ability to form opinions about issues that affect us, are hampered. Yeah. So then we ourselves are hampered in holding the government and its agencies accountable for their actions and decisions.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's really, I wouldn't say it's a concerted tool, but it's actually something that is so pervasive that hampers constructive participation in any debate or discussion. Mm-hmm. You know? And that is why we need an enabling environment that will really promote the flow of accurate and timely information. And this is facilitated by the media. And this is a key accountability structure now that is fundamental and really crucial for our nation.
So journalists, of course, you know, need to play a part in that. But what sort of policies can the government implement to protect journalists, you know, especially when things like this happen, you know, personal attacks, racist attacks, threatening the safety of journalists? What can the government do in that sense?
Yeah, I've said earlier, right, there is this propensity to initiate legal action. Mm. But often that's not necessarily the best way to go forward. I mean, we do have sufficient laws, but often these laws are focus on legal prosecution. Yeah?
Yeah.
What we really need is for the government to go beyond the existing laws and actions. Yeah?
Yeah.
First of all, we need to facilitate a safe space for journalists and one that really promotes freedom of expression and media freedom. In this context, we need a freedom of information legislation.
Mm.
Yeah? A journalist can't be continued to be hampered by the Official Secrets Act. And then experience further threats. So a new legislation promoting right to information should also be contingent on the repeal of the Official Secret Act. Now, a lot of these attacks and rhetorics and racist comments, are potentially hate speeches.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's also important for the state now to implement the Rabat Plan of Action, which is really a prohibition on advocacy on national, racial or religious hatred, right? That constitute incitement to discrimination, hostility or violence. Mm. Yeah. Now, the biggest challenge, and this is where I think adequate resources is going to be necessary, is to carry out extensive public education campaigns. The state needs to institutionalize a process that goes beyond racism and religious rhetoric, right? And this rhetoric can only be challenged on the basis of public awareness or public education campaigns. This has to be institutionalized and implemented nationwide. And that would also require really the government or the state to engage with all the relevant stakeholders. If not, it's the role of the state to implement these measures, but they can do it with support from the civil society organizations, from academics, from media institutions, religious authorities. There are many agencies and institutes that actually should and can come together as key stakeholders in addressing these issues and putting forward a more progressive rhetoric. That's what we need to change. We need to change really our Malaysian mindset. We need to move beyond the language that we've been fed during our schooling years. Yeah. You know, that's so much part of our curriculum, that's so much part of our current legislation, and so much part of our politics. You know, this divided rule rhetoric really cannot apply anymore. To promote any kind of freedom and fundamental rights, we need to go beyond these narratives.
So what about Facebook's role in all of this? You know, they have now permanently removed the post, but, you know, initially they refused to, citing that it didn't go against their community standards, even though their community standards say that it does not allow for hate speech. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is increasingly becoming a concern for us. It's not just Facebook, but also other social media platform, right? That's growingly an imbalance of powers between journalists, other users, and social media platform, right? Mm. In this regard, while we acknowledge the action by Facebook to remove the post, right? But the delayed response by Facebook has actually resulted in the initial post being picked up by more than 2,000 over people and potential cyber troopers, and it's been shared numerous times. Mm-hmm. You know, this has of course resulted in added threats and harassment. So what we need is for Facebook to ensure that all users are properly informed, right, about the terms of its services, its community standards, as well as to ensure a more effective mechanism to address complaints, yeah, and
that's
reporting
right.
On posts. I mean, that is crucial because most often than not, you know, Facebook works on algorithms, AI mechanism to pick up these things. But when there is a report such as this, they should act, you know, in a timely manner because these delays are hazardous and can continue to perpetuate the harm.
Exactly.
So this is our call to Facebook, really, to engage with the media actors and civil society organizations to really understand the local context and the challenges so that they could really respond more effectively. It's really important to promote freedom of media and ensure protection of journalists because the impact would be felt larger because it will create a situation of lack of informed citizens, lack of strong institution, and complete breakdown of rule of law if the freedom of expression and free media is not strengthened.
So that was Wachla Naidu, the Executive Director of the Centre of Independent Journalism Malaysia. And, you know, we also found out, just heard that Communication and Multimedia Minister Saifuddin Abdullah, he has also released a firm statement about this whole thing. And he said, quote unquote, "I criticise the racist attack against a Malaysia Kini journalist on social media. Any intimidation or attack against a journalist who is performing his or her duty is totally unacceptable." So hopefully people do listen instead of resort. But of course, you know, this is just taken its own sort of, it's become a monster of its own, right? It's
just, But from the very top as well, especially because it's linked to leadership and it's linked to actions from the government, the new government of the day, we need to see strong political will as well to address the attacks against journalism for just doing their job.
Yeah, we need those comments to come in much faster as well, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine
absolutely
how much of attacks that that poor reporter has faced in that short time for reporting something that was accurate?
Yes, that's right.
Well, we do hope for change. But, you know, if you have any thoughts, you know, tweet us at BFM Radio. You can always send us a WhatsApp message as well at 018-789-8899. We're going to take a short break now, but here's CCR with Who'll Stop the Rain on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.